We'll see how this question works out. How would you determine that a person's life is characterized by sin? How would you determine that? How would you make that come to that conclusion? A person's life is characterized by sin. Their actions. So they're loving people, they're giving warm hugs. Probably less than desirable actions. Their actions, their speech would give them the way that their life is characterized. So would it be, every once in a while they're doing or saying something, foolish, or would it be more regular? Yeah, regular. We all, unfortunately, still have our sin-stained flesh, and so even walking with the Lord, we can choose our flesh. Anything else? How do we determine that a person's life is characterized by sin? I'm sorry? Attitude. Yeah, how families are affected around them, their attitude. Activities. So is that things that they're engaging in? Yeah. So it can be easy to determine, or perhaps it can be a little tricky. Is their life characterized by sin? It depends to the extent people try to hide it, try to put on their Sunday best. Whatever. Sometimes we've got stuff going on in our lives. This is a picture a little under a year ago. We're going to talk about our ditch. Talk about the overgrowth in there. So a little over a year ago, it was wonderful. The county came through. They got rid of all those trees that were broken down and cleared that out. It was looking really nice out there, wasn't it? I was really excited. I'm like, man, it's clear. There's 10 trees left out of the 100 or 200 that were there. That took some adjustment. But man, look at the potential we have here. Well, we can now do stuff near the ditch where we couldn't possibly do before. Who knows that the sky's the limit. They brought in some fill dirt and kind of leveled some things out. They planted some grass seed for us. So I was excited and optimistic. Like I said, the land would be more usable. And I made this assumption. I assumed that the land would remain clear. Did anybody else make that assumption? I made that assumption. Hey, this land, it's gonna stay looking pretty nice. They plant a grass seed. Somebody will just come by with a lawnmower every now and again and keep it neatly trimmed. I made an assumption. Fast forward, it was an improper assumption to make. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But assumed it would remain clear. We can do the same thing with our own spiritual lives, especially as a new believer. Okay, I'm a new follower in Christ, and the Lord's opened my eyes to new things. I'm a new creation. This is wonderful. Or I've gotten rid of some baggage in my life, and I'm doing great, cleared some things out. The Lord's done some great work. And we can easily get complacent and lazy in our spiritual lives. Well, yeah, things are just going to stay good. Because they're good now, because I don't have all this junk, the various things that you all said, those aren't characterizing my life now. My actions, my thoughts, my attitude, my words, my whatever. Well, things will stay this way. And we can get complacent. We can get lazy. We know that things which aren't fostered and nurtured, they wither and eventually disappear. As we were seeking to get rid of some of this overgrowth yesterday, I brought out my chainsaw. I hadn't used it in a while, though I'm not going to start it up now. I had a little trouble starting it up yesterday. Not because the carburetor was junked up. I just forgot how to start this thing. I forgot what these little settings on the side mean. I knew that there was fuel and oil that had to go in. It took me about 3 minutes to figure out where I put the oil in for the chain. I hadn't used it in a while. When you don't use something, you kind of forget about it. Even, they say you never, it's like riding a bike comes back to you things, but even if you don't ride a bike for a number of years, you're a little bit wobbly. Man, when I was 12, I could ride no-handed all day long. I don't want to go to the hospital now, so I don't ride no-handed. I still have the same bike when I was 12 years old. I'm a little bit bigger now, but things are different. I still have the same bike, right? It's a wonderful purple bike. It's a manly purple. It's royal purple. Things which aren't fostered, you know, they die. Look at, you know, our muscles. What happens when a person, they lay in bed and they don't do anything? Muscles atrophy. They shrink up. They don't work. When you spend a year or two or a dozen before you go back to the gym the next time, you're not as strong the next time. You don't use it, you lose it. Your muscles atrophy, they shrink. The same thing is true in our spiritual lives. If we're not discerning, if we're not staying active on the sin, the overgrowth, bad things happen. And so spiritually, why does this happen? Well, we live in a fallen, broken world. Yes, we're followers of Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. But I still have sin-stained flesh. This world is full of corruption, full of nastiness. This world is run by the prince of darkness. When our spiritual lives are not intentionally developed and fostered, the opposite happens. Things don't stay clean and clear and rosy and peachy. It's not good. And that's just the default of this world. That's what happens. So what happens to our pretty ditch when we don't do anything with it? We get some nastiness. It gets really nasty. Was that ditch looking pretty awful? It wasn't looking great. We even got some weeds I didn't even know existed before. I had no idea where it was pretty bad. Seemingly out of nowhere, weeds started springing up, and all of a sudden, they were getting huge, it seemed like, overnight. Perhaps some things were blown in by the storm, different weeds, different whatever. Perhaps, I don't know, I think some things were brought in by the fill dirt that the county brought in. Contaminants, different things. But now all of a sudden, yeah, these weeds were just everywhere. They grew fast and large. They took over the recently cleared ditch. Like I said, just seemingly overnight, some of them were small and kind of easily you could uproot them. Some of these things, I was going to bring one in, but I decided not to. I don't need to make more of a mess. But these roots were about this big around. Not the roots, the trunk. The trunk of a weed tree. That shouldn't happen in 12 months, at least. I don't think so. I have trouble. I bought a couple of plants from Home Depot 6 months ago, maybe. Eventually, I'll plant them in my yard. But I didn't take care of them. One's dead. I don't know. I think the planter is still next to the little trailer in our front yard. I didn't take care of it. That thing's dead. But you know what's surrounding it? Weeds. Lots of wonderful. They got pretty flowers. Man, those things are thriving. And so these weeds, they just grow up overnight. Like I said, by the end of the summer, it was looking nasty. These weeds grew faster than any desirable plant would. Why did this happen? Well, we did nothing to stop or prevent these weeds, these vines, from growing. That's just what happens. Let's take a look at the parable of the sower, Luke chapter 8. It said, and you talk about where the seeds are spread, and some fell along among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and with it and choked it out. And some fell on good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. And he said, these things he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So some of these things, what happens to these weeds, these things, they choke out our land. Even if we tried to plant something good there, man, these weeds, these vines, everything else there would be there to choke it out spiritually if we're not staying on top of spiritual lives, taking on top of the sin that can easily creep in. And that's what Jesus has been talking about on the Sermon on the Mount. This isn't, yes, he's addressing the Pharisees, but the Pharisees are just the natural default of our heart. We'll talk about that more a little bit later. The thorns, they grew up, they choked things out. Things were getting choked out. David, you were like halfway up a tree with the weed whacker, weren't you? David was there, I'm not sure how I can hold this. He's up there, he's got the wonderful blade that Wayne has, his brand new blade, so it's a great thing, just kind of taking all these vines that are growing up the tree. They easily take over. Those might have been there before the storm, I don't know. A lot of stuff wasn't. Things become overgrown when we don't Take care of that. Jesus said spiritually, as for as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked out by the cares and the riches and pleasures of life. The fruit doesn't mature. That's a big problem when we don't address those things in life which want to take away. They naturally grow up in this dark, horrible, corrupted world. It happens to all of us. You see these super godly men and women who are on the top of their game, they're pastors, they're preachers, they're whatever. They've allowed some things to creep in. It overgrows, there's no more fruit. In fact, there's the opposite that happens. It's a sad day. We don't want to be those who hear as we go on the way. We're choked by the cares, the riches, the pleasures of life. Those things they're appealing, they're very nice. We want to be that good soil, that soil, that weedless soil. As for the good soil, they are those who hear, those who, hearing the word, hold fast to it in an honest and good heart. They bear fruit with patience. So Wayne spearheaded yesterday an effort that fortunately was overdue and got rid of some of those weeds. As you saw here, it's looking pretty nice out there. It took care of a whole bunch of weeds. It removed them, ripping some of them out by the roots. Some of them, the roots were so, you couldn't just pull them up by the roots. They were just so big and hunk. And it was wonderful. John came by, I don't know, a month or so ago with his tractor. And he had to literally, with his tractor, push the weeds over, these weed trees, so that way it would uproot them. And he had to go as far, as deep in, close to the ditch as he could without getting into the ditch and falling. That would be bad. We don't want him to, he doesn't need to get hurt again. And then fish his tractor out of it. It won't be a good thing. But you know, we needed this extra help for some of these things that were just really taking over. And so as you see lined along the street, that's the picture of what's all along the street. There's a lot of work done. And that's just a year of overgrowth. Spiritually, that's a lot that can happen in our year when we just ignore. Like care just kind of build up and stuff just happen in our life. Let the selfishness of it's all about me take over, and that just causes lots of problems. But what did we do with the reed removal? Some principles. We recognized there was a problem. Number one, you got to recognize there's a problem. There was a problem with these weeds. We can recognize problems, but we determined let's do something about it. And we set out a process of removing the weeds. So here's some more weed removal principles. You know what? It's going to take time. Just like so there's a spiritual application, it just takes time to get rid of all that. Now, there's probably about a third of it done. There's probably at least two more solid work days to get rid of all of it. It takes time to do that. It's going to take time as the roots that have grown in our lives, some of them are going to be easy. We can just kind of pull them out and pluck them, though that wasn't very big. But, man, we got those big ones. This is going to take some time. It's not going to go. There's perhaps many different things. It took community to do that. There was Wayne, I believe in you. You could have done it by yourself. I believe in you. You got your birthday present. You and your birthday present. You could have done it by yourself. But the work of the seven of us, it took 3 hours to get accomplished what you see out there. Wayne would probably take him at least 40. Not because you're incompetent or anything, but just, things work better when you're doing things in community. So as we're addressing sin, this is why it's so important to be in a community. We're terrible judges of ourselves. We think the best of ourselves. Sometimes the Holy Spirit prompts us and pricks us, and that's kind of a problem. But nobody else is saying anything. Nobody else is doing anything. And unfortunately, I've done the same thing with Rachel. We probably ought not to go out to eat. Probably shouldn't waste the money on that. But I'll propose it. Oh, there's no pushback. I guess it's not a bad idea. It's okay. It's been Rachel approved. Not asking her to endorse any sin, but, and it's not her fault for me coming up with a bad idea and me proposing it and then me leading the way on it. But sometimes in community, we'll be able to see things and where we might get hints of, that's a bad idea, or that's not the right thing, or, hey, have you noticed this about yourself? Whoa. I kind of had, but I didn't realize I didn't think everybody else kind of noticed it was, is it really that bad? Is that not why often with substance abuse, different addictions, there's an intervention often that needs to happen? Well, I didn't realize. You know, it takes community to work forward, to community to press through. There's the accountability. There's the encouragement factor. You know, each of us, we have different levels of knowledge of Scripture, of the Lord, so we can come alongside where, you know, there's a Scripture that comes to, you know, will come to Mike's mind often that I won't think about, or something that perhaps Val or whomever. We need each other. It's a community to get rid of those weeds. You know, it takes the right equipment. Like I said, John with his tractor a month or so ago was incredibly valuable. Going over and pushing over those things so that way, now a month later, we could somewhat easily, Wayne could easily drag them to the curb with his muscles. But some of them, you know, some of them, it did require a chainsaw. Some of those trains, Wayne or John couldn't get down to the ditch. So you need a chainsaw to be able to cut them off. You need the chainsaw to get in there and do the really heavy-duty stuff. For others, it was, okay, yeah, the weed whacker is good enough. With the fancy little blade on there, you can go and you can kind of chop some things down. Having the right equipment is incredibly important. Having the right equipment to remove these sins. For some sin, it might be blocking internet sites. It might be setting down phone. I don't know what it's going to look like spiritually, but it's going to take different approaches to get at the roots of problem. And then number four, the effective. To be the most effective, we got to get rid of the root. Chainsaw's a lot of fun. Anybody else enjoy playing with a chainsaw? Chainsaw's a lot of fun. The problem is that the chainsaw doesn't go down in the dirt. Or you don't do that often, or else it's going to get all dull and banged up. It's meant to just chop things off. What's the problem with a weed if you leave the root in the ground? It comes right back. You do a lot of hard work, and the weed's just going to keep on growing back. So in our lives, we can mask the manifestation of our sins. You know what? I'm not going to curse it in front of the church people. Well, Jesus already addressed a lot of this, didn't he? You know, hey, don't worry, I'm not murdering people, so I don't have an anger issue. He said, no, hey, take care of the anger. I'm not cheating on my wife. Well, what about the heart? Is the heart lusting after other women? And throughout all these things, the Beatitudes, Jesus said, let's get to the heart of the problem. Let's pull out those roots. So the most effective way, going alongside of this ditch, is to pull them up, remove the roots, to pull them from the ground. It's hard work. Some of those, they're in there tough. They're in there deep. Might give you a sore lower back, sore arm, sore whatever. But you remove the root, the entire weed is gone. Why don't we do it? Well, it's the hardest work. It takes the most time. While we may or may not say that we're lazy, but push comes to shove, we're going to pick the path of least resistance. So if we do, are we really going to dig down deep into our lives? Get at the root of problem. Why do I keep on hitting people? Because I'm angry. Well, why am I angry? What's going on? There's something deeper going down inside of anger. Perhaps there's abuse going on from childhood that's been unaddressed. Perhaps there'd be so many sorts of, there'd be discontentment, it could be anger at God because there could be a whole slew of other issues. You got to get the root of the problem. Once again, that takes, it's going to take community, it's going to take multiple tools. It could take Christian counseling. Counseling's fantastic. I would encourage counseling to just about everybody. If you're struggling, you know, whether you go to a pastor or go to a licensed counselor, counselors are fantastic. Hopefully, as a church, we can get past the idea that counseling is weak, that those who need counseling need therapy, that they're weak because they couldn't do it with just them and Jesus. Well, Jesus, he is the healer, but he uses people, he uses resources, he uses oftentimes these other things. We can manage behaviors all day long, but if we don't get to the root, they'll never be ended. It's just an exhausting battle. It's like a boat with a leak. You can keep on bailing it out, but if you don't plug that leak, you're just going to be bailing it out all day long, all trip long. Do you really want to do that, or would you rather fix the problem? And so, as you know, with the ditch, you know, there may and probably are seeds that were dropped that are just going to spawn new things. You know, that happens in this life. I said, this world, it's terrible, it's awful, it's horrible. There's, you know, new stuff is going to spring up. New weeds or spores can be blown in. Fortunately, we're never going to remove everything. But we get to the wonderful result. And the picture isn't as nice as when you go out there and look. But the result of removing weeds, we get to reclaim the intent. Land is cleared for a purpose. It, you know, things are, this wasn't meant for weeds to just overgrow the vines and everything to take over. So for us personally, as we remove these weeds of sin, we were aligned with God and his purpose for us. Jesus didn't die for our sins so that they would reign in our bodies. And Jesus didn't die in the, he knew that there would be times and moments, unfortunately, more of our life that we would still give ourselves over to sin, but he didn't die on the cross so that we could keep on living that life. As we remove the weeds, we become more attractive. The ditch is more attractive now. As we get rid of that sin in our lives, those bad stuff, we become more attractive to this world. Jesus said at the beginning, you're going to be salt and light. The preserving, you're going to be a beacon of light. That's our purpose. Our lives are to bear witness of Christ. And we're supposed to be his witnesses, Acts 1:8. So as we're going around, as we're sharing the gospel, people say, you know, I want that. Now, let me go with that angry person to where he says, you know, God changes. Not a very effective, not a very attractive witness. We become attractive and useful for the Lord. Then also with it, the land is fruitful for our use. So with this land now cleared, we could do something with it. There's been ideas of walking prayer paths around it. We could put picnic tables. We could plant new fruitful trees. We could do, the point is, with it cleared, you can actually do something. If we put a picnic table in amongst the weeds, how many people's going to sit at that picnic table? Not very many. Probably nobody. It's not going to be an effective thing. Spiritual, when we address the shortcomings, those areas in our hearts and lives where God does not reign as Lord as he ought, we now have the potential to be fruitful for him. Remember what Luke said, what Jesus said in Luke? Well, those vines, they choke it out so they can't even bear the fruit. We want to bear fruit. There's an incredible joy with doing that. And that's God's desire for us. His heart is that we would bear fruit. Psalm 1, blesses the man who his delight is in the instruction of the Lord. Not only his instruction, he meditates day and night. He bears fruit. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. This is the purpose of us. This is God's desire for us. When we talk about the problem is sin. The problem, the deep-seated problem is, let's pass the buck. It's Adam and Eve's fault. By one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. We've all inherited that sin nature. We've all inherited that old man. We've all, our flesh has become tainted with sin. That's the problem then. Romans 6:6. Fortunately, Jesus, he dies on the cross. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so we would no longer be enslaved to sin. One who has died to sin has been set free. So, unfortunately, the old man, the old self, is a slave to sin. There's nothing he can do about it. But as followers of Christ, we've gotten release, we've gotten freedom from this. We don't have to be enslaved to sin. Unfortunately, we often choose it. Paul says in Galatians, to walk by the Spirit, that way you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The flesh is always going to, because it's been tainted by that sin, that deep-seated sin, we're never going to get rid of it. The flesh is going to want to do what it wants, but we're a new creation in Christ. We can do these new things. We can finally be obedient. I said this is why Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. He wanted to address the heart. He wanted to get the heart at us. He wants us to be the poor in spirit, mourning, meek, hunger and thirst for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. He wanted our hearts to be aligned with him. As we quickly go through Matthew 7, he continues in all this, talking about judging others. He says, judge not that you may not be judged. For the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And the measure you use, it will be measured against you. He's long and the short, hey, as we judge other folks, as we, he says, we need to certainly assess things, but as we condemn, as we avenge, as we do these things, this judgment outside of what the Lord has instructed, that's, hey, watch out. People are going to use that against you. If we say, we get mad and angry about the angry person, the wrathful person, the whatever, then people are going to be sensitive when I get that. We love to call out hypocrites. Isn't politics full of it? They're just waiting for that one little slip up, and then you get that person. We do that in our lives. See, you're just as bad as the other rest of them. Your life may or may not be characterized by it. So Jesus advises you to watch out. So how does he tell you to do that? Remember the speck in the eye. Hey, well, why do you see the speck in your brother's eye? But you got that big log, you got that tree, you got that plank coming out of yours. How can you address your brother to take out the speck in their eye when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take out the speck of your brother's eye. How can you, you're just seeing the tiniest thing, but you've completely missed. You haven't even weeded your own garden yet. You got this huge log in your eye, but you're focused on your brother and their shortcomings. First address your own glaring sin before attacking others. Before you claim that you're should be looking out for your brother, not looking to point out the faults. And then the wonderful thing is that after afterwards you remove the plank, you remove that, you're going to be pretty sensitive about somebody with an eye issue. If they got a little something in their eye, you know the gross pain of it. You're in a great position to actually help them. You know what's going on. You'd be doing so out of compassion. You know the consequences that would come from removing the speck. Hey, I don't want you to be in my shoes. I've been there. I've done that. I don't want you to be there. I love what Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6. Brother, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watching yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Hey, if you're spiritual in your right spiritual spot, you don't have that log hanging out of your eye. If you're right there, you'll come alongside. Do so in the gentleness. Bear the burdens. There's that community aspect again. Jesus talks about judging discernment. Don't give the dogs what's holy. Do not throw pearls before pigs. They're going to trample it underfoot and attack you. Be wise. Be wise about what you say you do. Are they going to even care? These dirty animals. Are you just wasting your breath? Are you just giving them an ammunition? They're going to come back and just attack you. I want to be discerning. The judging is discerning what to do. The log, the speck. Jesus continues on in 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seeking you will find. Knocking and it will be opened to you. Whoever asks receives. Whoever seeks finds. Be open to you. God is there to give. He says, if you're a son, you ask your father for bread, will they give you a loaf of, you ask for bread, will they give you stone? If you ask these good things, he said, your father in heaven who's good. Even more than a father who takes care of their son, he knows the good things to give you. And so as we look at this context of the sin in our lives, it's the desire of God's heart for you not to be enslaved to sin. but rather to have him fully on the throne of your heart alone. That's why he died on the cross. So he would reign there supreme, so that way it'd be him flowing through you. But he does leave sin in the world in our flesh, so we can turn to him and him alone. We can go to him as we see in the brokenness of our heart, the contriteness of our heart. Lord, I need you. Wouldn't God be there? You know, I think I just want to let you suffer a little bit more. Perhaps it feels like that way. Lord, why aren't you taking this addiction away from me? Why aren't you taking that away from me? This is hard. This is frustrating. I don't read the beginning of the Psalms. David had that. How long, O Lord? But your Father in heaven goes, give you good things. He's developing you. He's forming you. But he desires for us to bear fruit. He's going to do the best to help us get to that point where we can bear that fruit. So as we get rid of these things, as we clear the ditch, as we do these other things, final step, preventative maintenance. Remember at the beginning we said, well, at least I just assumed, yeah, it'll stay nice. If we don't do anything, it should stay nice. We know that's not true. We don't want to assume in our lives this is a once and done thing. We've seen the power of the weeds. We've seen the power of the weeds in the ditch. We've seen the power of the weeds in our own lives to move us, our hearts, our eyes away from the Lord. We've seen the power of sin, sin-stained flesh, and Satan. It's about my prayer just about every day, at least the last part of it. A little bit Paul says, let not sin reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Hey, don't let sin be in charge. You obey its passions. Do not present your members as to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. That's the default of our lives. That's the default of this world, of who we are as fallen creatures. But present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Because, yeah, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have been brought from death to life. We no longer are enslaved to sin. And present your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Praying, Lord, here are my hands. Use these for good, not for evil. Lord, here's my heart. I want to be filled with your goodness, with your glory. Use it. Lord, use my mind. Keep my mind off those things that would distract. Lord, I give it to you. May it be an instrument for righteousness. Look, this chainsaw can be a wonderful tool. It can be used for good things, or it can be used, cut up a knee, cut up a leg. I'm not sure. It'd be interesting how many people cut themselves in the month of October, November with a chainsaw here in Bay County. How many ER visits were there? I guess it's a lot. We can use it for good. We can use it to harm ourselves, to harm others, whether intentionally or not. I'm going to stay on top of things that preventive maintenance. Interesting pre-storm fact. So while there were vines and overgrowth along the ditch, the weeds were nothing like post-storm. We didn't have all those big tree bushes. They weren't there, and probably even in your yards. It was nothing like that. I won't answer for your yards, but here's my hypothesis for the ditch. The trees occupied much more of the ground space. They cut off a lot of the sunlight that those weeds would have looked, that would have needed to grow up, the ground space to be able to grow and take over. Now the pines are gone, the weeds and vines are thriving. Or at least they have the potential to do so. And spiritually, this is what happens in our life. Either sin thrives or Jesus thrives. It's not a both and. Remember, you can't serve two masters. Is sin going to thrive in my life, or am I going to have Jesus thrive? We fool ourselves by justifying our sinful actions. That's when we declare something to be righteous, something to be good. We trick ourselves, we trick others. But before we know it, it's just, oh no, oh pickles. Where did all this unwanted garbage come from? Where did this mess in my heart, where did this mess in the ditch? Where did all these weeds come from? Where did all this sin come from in my life? It's because we weren't intentionally presenting ourselves to the Lord. Lord, use me, have me be an instrument for righteousness. And this is a process through our lives. So as we close our message today, why don't you just take a look at, you know, your heart. How does your heart look? Does your spiritual life look like the weed-riddled ditch? Or have those sins that used to reign been uprooted so you're no longer a slave to those patterns? How do you look like individually? Heritage Bible Church, how do we look like? Because if sin can come in and infest a personal life, it can certainly come into a corporate body. How are we doing corporately? And so if you answer, Pastor, I feel like I'm doing pretty well. I'm staying on top of it. I'm taking every thought captive, and Lord, help me with this. Then praise God. Keep on doing it. Keep up the good work. Keep on keeping on. Praise God. That way you don't have to go back and uproot them as they get bigger and bigger and bigger and gnarlier. But if not, I encourage you to cry out to God. Lord, I need your help. He loves answering those questions. He did the first time you accepted him as Savior. You cry out to him, Lord, I need you. Yes, you are God. I'd encourage you to get a community around you to help you, an informal or formal one. Those people can come alongside you to carry your burdens for you. I'd encourage you to get to the root. What is it that's in your heart that's causing you to react in these adverse situations with anger? What's causing you to react with lust? What's causing you to react with jealousy? What's causing you to react with selfishness? What's causing you to react with control? What's causing these behaviors to manifest? It's not about behavior modification, behavior management. That's just taking a weed whacker and cleaning up the ditch every so often. We want to get down to the deep part of it. Are there scars in your past, shortcomings in your childhood or upbringing that have not been addressed? Is there a demonic affliction going on that needs to be addressed? I'm going through a book called Soul Care with somebody here in a church, and what the wonderful thing about Soul Care is it addresses the deep stuff within the soul. It's not just, hey, stop doing bad stuff. It's, hey, well, what's deep down causing me to do this stuff? And I'd love to go through it with you. To sit down, we could sit down just the two of us, we could sit down in a group of three, whatever. More than four would be not good, but how we can dig in, Lord, why am I this way? Why do I seem to be prone to these areas? So if our life looks more like a ditch, we want to cry out to God. If your life's been cleaned up, if you've done a good job, you're keeping control, keep on going. Praise God. You're doing a great job. So we're going to have a song, then we'll go into our time of communion. So I'd encourage you, as we're going to go into communion, to search your heart as you've been, the Lord's probably been speaking to you. Is there something you need to confess to him? Hey, use this time. Use this song. Is there something, yeah, I've let things kind of get out of control here. Or I haven't been as good as I ought to. So we're going to have communion. We practice open communion here at Heritage Bible Church, meaning if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you know Jesus as your Savior, you're welcome to participate. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I would encourage you not to participate. This is partaking in his death for our sins. You can either take it here kneeling, or we can serve it to you in your seats. But also, hey, if as you look at your sin-stained heart, I don't feel comfortable, I would encourage you not to. If there's some big sin holding you back, I would encourage you to hold back. We'll take communion again on January 1st, or the first Sunday in January. So with that, we'll have this song, and then we'll go into communion. Like I said, you can use these kneelers if you want to do some business with the Lord, if you want to do something at your chair.